Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about having joy-filled connections that can boost our mental health. And with me, Dr. Carla Marie Manley, who is a clinical psychologist. Dr. Manley, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Let's start out and talk about the happiness crisis. What is happening in our society today? Why do you believe that there is a happiness crisis?
Well, for the first time in ever so long, the U.S. has dropped out of the top 20th happiest countries on the planet. And I think it's many people are pointing to social media, and I do think that that's part of it. But there are so many other factors, including our loss of community, our loss of true intimate connection to other people. And humans, we're gregarious creatures. We need each other. Yet we've become increasingly fragmented in our quest to be independent, which is wonderful. We've become hyper independent. And that's made it so that it's eroded the beautiful interdependence that is the hallmark of every healthy, loving relationship, parent-child, friend-friend, romantic partners, because we do need each other in order to feel connected, in order to feel joyful, which is, we often call it happy. And I think that's the crux of the crisis.
So, Dr. Manley, how do we go about turning things around? What are some things that we can do to maybe change our personal habits or help us connect better with people and really establish these great relationships?
One of the things we can do is to simply turn within and really start looking at what is within us, our daily habits. Just do a gentle journey through morning to evening. What you do that connects you to yourself and what you do that connects you in healthy ways to other people. Do that in a very non-judgmental way. And it's how I work with my clients and how I approach this issue in my fourth book, The Joy of Imperfect Love. It is about learning to take a step back, to be a little more objective, which fosters empathy and kindness and self-love. And then look at how you might make a few baby step adjustments. So for example, if you wake up in the morning and you're scooting the kids off to school or you're rushing off to work, it might be something as simple as, wait a second, if I spend 10 minutes getting things ready the night before, I can wake up, do a 1 or 2 minute gratitude practice, spend time with my kids at the table or my partner at the table or myself having a cup of tea to start my day in a way that's kind and gentle and a little bit less stressed. Because when we don't pause to be mindful and look at what's causing us stress, we just continue it. And not through any fault of our own, but neurobiologically, whatever we do, be it healthy or not so healthy, it's going to become stronger. So we want to create mindfulness within the self and our daily routines. We also want to do the same thing after we get a little bit used to that. Then you can turn to looking at your relationships, the relationships that bring you joy, if you have any of those that are toxic or distressing. Again, take a step back, look at them objectively and say, what are a few little modifications that I could use here? Could I have stronger boundaries? Have I been told I'm very critical or that I don't, you know, stand up for myself? What are some things I can do, baby stepping, in an imperfect way? And that's why this is so scary for many people. They think, oh my God, I don't want to do it. I have to be perfect. That's the beauty of imperfect love. All that it asks us to do is try a little bit harder every day to be more aware when we make a mistake, as we will do. I'll make mistakes for the rest of my life. Be accountable for it and say, this is what I'll do differently next time. It takes the pressure off. It makes the journey so much more wonderful.
when I'm just thinking about my own life, and I don't believe that it's necessarily chaos, but I do believe that I've filled it with so many things that sometimes I just don't take that breath. I don't take that second to slow down and really stop and think about, yeah, am I happy? Are my relationships good? And I'm thinking that I'm not alone in this.
No, you're not alone. Most of us, you know, I would think almost all of us can stand to do a reassessment from time to time, whether that's daily or weekly. I have taught myself, I'm naturally quite self-reflective, but I've taught myself to be very reflective. And I think that is one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves. It's almost, I tell people, my clients and the groups I work with, that it's almost as though you become your own researcher. You never judge yourself, never blame yourself. That only makes it worse. But just step back and say, is what Dr. Carla is doing right now, is what Carla is doing right now, is that the healthiest for her? And sometimes the answer is yes. This morning walk is exactly what you needed. But sometimes, you know, 5 back-to-back clients with no break, well, there's some part of me that says, yes, go, girl. The other part saying, not very wise. And so we want to learn to listen to that part that's saying what you're doing might feel good in some way, but it's not very wise for your overall well-being or your overall relationships. So you can see from the tone I take, it is, and this is the way I look at it in the book, The Joy of Imperfect Love. We are all these beautiful gemstones, these beautiful rocks that just need to be polished a bit every day. And when we get used to polishing ourselves just a bit every day, it doesn't have to be laborious, we ultimately become these beautiful gemstones. We've made our capacity shine through. That's always there, but it just sparkles a little bit more every day.
A big part of what you're talking about is actually improving our relationship with ourselves. And how important is that to then making connections with others?
It's so important because my work, I'm a depth psychologist, but I've really embraced the attachment paradigm, which talks about secure attachment and insecure attachment. It is one of the most well-researched models in all of psychology, goes back to the 1950s. And just to make it simple and sweet, it's very complex, but we grow up when we have parents who are well attuned to us. We grow up with a secure attachment. That's about 50% of people. The other percentage, they end up with insecure attachment, one of three types. Those attachment strategies are carried into adult relationships and into parenting if one has children. And so many of our relationships become very difficult and challenging, not through any fault of our own or our parents. It's no, as I said, no use blaming, shaming, but we want to be able to look and do the work on the self to realize, okay, I might have some insecure attachment patterns that are causing this or that, or maybe I never learned about communication or emotional intelligence. Let me just build these skills. And so when we look at our psyches in a way that allows us to say, in every area of life, we have to learn, whether we're cooking, whether we're working on a car, whether we're going into a new job, we need to learn. Why wouldn't we give ourselves that grace when it comes to this beautiful self that we are, that's come into the world not knowing anything, has often not had good modeling? And so let's just take a time out, start learning what will help us feel safer, more comfortable, more authentic in our own bodies and thus in our relationships. Talk with people who are in our relationships about what we are doing, because they may start being a little bit confused when we show up with boundaries and we're no longer the doormat, that kind of thing, and start seeing that we might need to tweak our relationships. We might have to step back from some. We might have to get really strong boundaries. And it's all for the greater good, because the more we take care of the self and are true to ourselves, the more we can love and be role models for other people in very true and authentic ways. Mind you, again, doesn't mean we're perfect. Perfection doesn't exist. It's no fun. When we are perfectionists, I have been there, all you're looking for are the flaws. And as a person who's recovered from being a perfectionist, I no longer focus on the flaws in myself or in other people or in my work. Yes, I have to do, you know, I have to be on point in so many things I do. But when we shift away from seeking flaws and leaning into doing our best, which is different, doing our best and showing up in the world and in our work and in our relationships as the best we can in that moment, it's a game changer.
Talking about in the moment, part of that pausing that you're talking about is really maybe enjoying our relationships more. You talked about, you know, getting the kids off to school so quickly and eating breakfast so quickly. Just spending a few more minutes in the day, like you said, getting up a little bit earlier, that can make a huge difference for not just us, but everyone who's around us.
Absolutely, because we often try to accomplish so much. Many of us grew up in generations, and it's still the paradigm today, where the more you accomplish, the better you are. The more productive you are, the more valuable you are. I say, let's really look at that, because it doesn't matter how much we accomplish and how much we're worth in the bank if that's why so many people who are immensely successful suffer from serious depression and mental health issues. And I'm not saying it's just, of course, lots of socioeconomic classes really suffer from mental health issues. But we can see that money and success aren't the answer. The answer to mental health is creating that balance, having attuned relationships. And that is something we can all slow down to do a little bit better, to not multitask when a child wants to talk to us or a partner wants to talk to us, to put our phone down and play a game of cards or go for a walk with someone, turn off the TV and go out and do some gardening together. It's those are the kinds of patterns that our psyches and our bodies have been accustomed to for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And it's only in the last few decades that we have really pivoted away from that. And as we've pivoted away from those natural ebbs and flows of connection and into this more me and my phone, me and my TV, me and technology, we can see that mental health has really started to decline.
Let's talk about that technology for a minute and maybe how we could develop more healthy habits when it comes to social media, how we use that technology.
Absolutely, because technology, and I say this in my first book, Joy from Fear, technology is not inherently good or bad. It's our use of it that can make it really destructive. And I try and walk my talk and stay off of social media for most of my day. I can see how it draws people in. Just the other day, I went on to Reels and was looking at Reels on Instagram with my husband. First time we've ever done that. And I could see how you get drawn in because people were dancing and then you want to see the next people. And it's lovely and wonderful, but we did it for about 3 minutes and then we were done. And I put it away, but I could see how your brain would get acclimated to doing that for hours at a time. Why? It's a fantasy world. It's engaging. It really works with our short-term attention spans. But what we miss, on the other hand, is the actual human connection of talking to someone, going to see a live dance performance, talking with somebody about the dances that they've seen, maybe taking a dance class. So what we want to do when we're looking at social media, put yourself, as many people say, put themselves on a social media diet. Find times of the day where you, whether it's 5 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at noon, 15 minutes in the evening, where you really allow yourself that time and then be strict with it, as with any form of diet, not to hurt yourself, but to allow yourself to be engaging in other activities rather than this one format. The other thing I'm a big fan of doing is I tell people, if you're consuming news, because many people doom scroll and they get riveted by all of this negative news, and there is definitely a correlation with doom scrolling and depression. So I'm a big believer in staying abreast of current events. So listen to a news podcast in the morning, or read the newspaper, or listen to an NPR news brief. Why? When we watch television news or watch videos about news, it tends to be more sensationalized, and our senses are hit visually, they're hit in an auditory sense, and sometimes almost a kinesthetic sense, where we feel that energy, that negativity coming through to our kinesthetic sense through the screen. And so we want to be, the more we have a modest type of news that's not sensationalized, that gives us the facts and just the facts, then we feel like we're staying abreast, but we're not prone to more anxiety, stress, or depression. As well, people who are in our area, they're not subjected. You don't know how many couples I talk to where one partner is a big news consumer by TV and the other one is not, but the other partner, simply by being in the home or in the car, feels really assaulted by all of this negative news. And it is a big issue with couples. It's a big issue when there are children in the home, because we think everyone should listen to what we want to listen to, but that's, we want to be more aware of how our news consumption affects us and the people in our environment. So that's another way to, you know, make friends with technology. The other piece is to check your phone once you come home, if you tend to use it for work, because many people will look at work emails morning, noon, night, even when they're off the clock. It makes them feel more connected and productive, more connected to work, but they're missing the connection to the people in their world. And that's the negative part. So we want to be more mindful about our social media consumption, our news consumption, and creating a home environment where we're not surrounded by technology, where technology is a part of our lives, but we have other things that we do. So instead of watching, you know, a TV show every night, especially with spring and summer, the days are longer. You can go for a walk with your loved ones. And it's so much more beneficial for mental health, because not only does nature, sunlight, you know, fresh air improve our mood, it helps decrease depression, and it's also good for the physical body, because you're reducing adrenaline, you're reducing cortisol, and you're boosting your metabolism.
Most of us would say that we could be happier. What would be a couple of simple things that you would tell folks that they could do today that would make a difference and would make them happier in their lives?
I'm a big believer in beginning my day and ending my day with gratitude practices. And you can make it whatever kind of gratitude practice you want. You can sing a song of gratitude in the morning. I listen to Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World, every morning, because that kind of music sets the stage for me feeling really grateful. I give gratitude to the people in my life, and I do little blessings. And when we set the stage with gratitude, you might not, you know, automatically see the connection to creating internal joy, but that's what we're doing. Because happiness, to be fair, if we really look at the word, happiness is about things in the external environment making us happy. But when we stoke that flame of our internal joy, which we all have, by being more grateful and appreciative for what we do have, we naturally, that is one of the best, most portable ways to stay in a more constant state of joy, which of course sometimes goes away. So we don't want to always be chasing it. We just want to be able to see that generally what we have within us and around us is more than enough. So rather than going into what we don't have or what's hurting in us, if we stay and practice focusing on what is good in our world, and then do the same practice at night. Notice you're beginning your day and you're ending your day and going into sleep and waking up feeling really, really blessed and really grateful. Doesn't mean you won't have troubles. We all have troubles. Troubles come my way, you know, quite frequently. And I try and move them, still remaining grateful. I move through them by saying, this will pass. I'm really grateful for what I have. And it makes the joy inside of us really stay more like a lovely candle flame, despite what's going on outside.
Dr. Carla, how do people find out more about you and more about the books that you've written?
My website is drcarlamanly.com. So that's drcarlamanly.com. My books are everywhere. Fine books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And my books are Joy from Fear, Create the Life of Your Dreams by Making Fear Your Friend, Gate Smart, Aging Joyfully, and my fourth book, The Joy of Imperfect Love, The Art of Creating Healthy, Securely Attached Relationships. And my Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. I always forget that it's changed to X.
Right.
Those are all at Dr. Carla Manley.
Dr. Carla, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. My guest today has been Dr. Carla Manley. You can find out more health and fitness tips on our socials. Find us on Instagram at Moving Maria and on Facebook at Let's Get Moving with Maria. Have a great day.